John chapter 20. John chapter 20. It was a good service this morning, and I was humbled and glad that the Lord used me this morning. It was a brand new message. You're the first ones to hear that message this morning. Amen. And so I guess it went okay. Most of you all came back, so I guess that's a good sign. And John chapter 20. Excuse me. Again, forgive me for this cough. I'll be probably fight this cough here, but John chapter 20, and I just want to say this. I'll keep my family in prayer. My grandmother Dorothy Duval. Some of you know who the Duvals are. If you know Dummer Duval, he's relation to, of course, my mother. Who my grandfather Norma Duval passed away a while back, and just pray for my grandmother. She spent her life really, rest of her life taking care of him. He got bad to, he was bedridden. He couldn't get up. And I'll tell you this, a good testimony that that he left behind. The day that he died, he was having trouble with the medicine. And he looked at my grandmother and said, "Who's calling for my life?" My grandmother said, "Well, the Lord's calling for your life. Do you hear the Lord calling for your life?" And he looked at my grandmother and said, "I love you." And that was the last words he ever said to my grandmother. And just to know that he heard the Lord's voice calling him home. And one of these days we're going to hear that voice, the Lord calling us home. John chapter 20. Starting in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this tonight, this message you brought for us tonight, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you be with me tonight. Hide me behind the cross, Father. Let your will be done, Lord. And we just give you all the praise and glory for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We know this is a familiar passage of Scripture. We know a lot of people take this and they'll preach on the doubting Thomas. And I'm going to go a little bit different direction here tonight. I'm not really going to preach on the doubting Thomas, but I really want to concentrate here tonight on two scarred hands. I want to concentrate tonight on the hands of Jesus. And no doubt, these hands have done many, many miracles. These hands have done many, many work. And we know a lot of through Scripture that we find here in the Word of God that how these hands have made many lives whole, have done many miracles. And I think about these hands, and I think about blind Bartimaeus, when blind Bartimaeus was on the roadside begging, and the disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned that this man be born blind?" And Jesus said, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but the work that God's work," I'm paraphrasing here tonight, "that the work of God may be manifest in his life." And so we know here that these hands that Jesus, he spit on the ground and he made clay and he put it on the eyes of the blind man. He told the blind man, "Go to the pool of Siloam," and he went to the pool of Siloam and he came away seeing. These hands have done many miracles. They opened blinded eyes. And we think about these hands that went to Jairus' daughter, and as she laid there dead, and Jesus said she was only sleeping. And Jesus took his hand down and said, "Rise, daughter." She arose, and she arose from the grave. She was dead. She was dead. No doubt we also see that when Jesus was on the sea and the storms were raging, Jesus handed his hand up and said, "Peace, be still." And the winds and seas, they obeyed his voice. They obeyed his command. We think about how they cast out demons. They cast out devils. These normal hands done many works. But I want to let you know something. Even though these normal hands healed the blind and healed the sick and raised the dead and calmed the seas of Galilee, and even though these hands had done many work in carpentry when he was a carpenter, they cannot compare it to the two scarred hands. They can't compare it to the hands that were scarred. And I want to think about this here tonight. Now, I know it was all the blood of Jesus. Every single drop of His blood saved me from my sin. But there's some things about these two scarred hands that gets me excited, that gets me happy, that brings joy to my heart to even think about these two scarred hands. And I'll probably be real quick here tonight. I told you I'm not a long-winded preacher, but we'll see how it goes, amen? If you start saying amen a lot, we'll see how it goes. But we see here that these two scarred hands, it is a reminder. It reminds me that my past has been changed. Amen. Aren't you glad that your past has been changed? Aren't you glad to know that when you're standing in front of Jesus, He no longer sees your past. He no longer sees your sin, but He sees His blood. Amen. Hey, that should excite you here tonight, that He sees the blood. He doesn't see your sin. And it changed my past. It changed my past. It changed my direction to my past. You know where I was headed? I was headed to a place called hell, amen. When I was lost and undone, and if I didn't get saved down there at State Line, as I said here this morning, if I never given my life to Jesus Christ, I'll be on my way to hell. And if I would die, I would be in hell, and deservingly so, because I was born in sin. I was a sinner. I was a low-down sinner. But Jesus Christ came my way, saved my soul, and now my past has been changed. It was a dangerous past. It was a dangerous path I was headed down. Hey, we think about hell. Hell is a place of torment. Amen. Think about the rich man when he was living on this earth. He fared sumptuously. Hey, he wouldn't even give a crumb off his table to beggar old Lazarus as Lazarus begged there. Even though Lazarus was poor, even though Lazarus didn't have much, he had more to gain than that rich man. Amen. That rich man died and he lifted his eyes up in torments. He lifted his eyes up in hell. He won. Hey, you know, so funny how the things got reversed. Amen. Do you remember when it says in the Word of God in Luke chapter 16 that all he wanted, Lazarus just wanted one crumb, just one little speck to fall off the rich man's table. And now the roles have been reversed. You see, now this man's in hell and he looks over at Abraham's bosom and he sees Lazarus. He's fine. Amen. And all he wants Lazarus to do is to put his finger in some water and one little speck to cool his tongue. You see, hell's a place of torment. See, hell is a place of everlasting torment. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. You will be reminded of your past. You'll be reminded of the day that you had the opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. You'll be reminded of everything that you have done. And you'll be reminded of the opportunities that you had. Here's the part. Everyone's going to cry out to the Lord. Everyone's going to say, "Lord, I believe you now. Hey, I believe Jesus." But guess what? It's too late. That's total separation. You have an opportunity tonight. If you're lost, undone, without Jesus Christ, you have this opportunity tonight to get saved, to get born again, to get right. Like we preached this morning, there's many people that have a form of godliness. They're living a religious life. They have their suit. They have their King James Bible. They make sure their hair's the right way. They tote the line, but they're lost. Religion can't save you. Religion won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ will. And I will tell you right here tonight that, hey, that these two scarred hands remind me that my past has been changed. It changed the direction. Hell's a place of no rest. You will not rest in hell. It's a everlasting. Every year, there's a church, Christdale Baptist Church, that throws a thing around this time of Halloween, and it's called Truth or Terror. And it's basically a reenactment. There's two people. One's saved and one's lost. And the other friend's trying to witness to this other friend. And the other friend says, oh, I have enough time, or I really don't want to hear about it. And they get in some kind of accident, whether it's a car accident, farming accident, or some kind of accident. And they both die. The girl or guy, whoever plays the part, wakes up in heaven and says, and they see Jesus. And Jesus is there with the book. He says, I know my name has to be in there, Jesus. And he opens the book and there's their name. And they get to go up to heaven. The next person that rejected Christ, that, well, I'm a good person, you know, I've done all good in my life, says, you know what, my name has to be in that book. And it's empty, it's blank. And they point toward hell. And the demons come out and they drag them to hell. And they do their best they can to depict hell as you walk through. I'm telling you, folks, time's coming. The trump's going to sound soon. Look at this world today. I'm telling you, it's waxing worse and worse. This Bible we have in our hands is being proven more true every single day. And so, to think about these two scarred hands, they changed my past. They changed my past. See, my past, it was a deceitful direction I was going. Your past would tell you you're fine. Your past would tell you you don't have to change anything. Just have a little bit of religion. Go to church. It's okay. And if you feel good about it, go to church again Sunday night if they have it. Like I said, if they have it. Go again on Wednesday night if they have it. It will deceive you to think that if you just being good, you're not breaking the law. But friends, if you are not saved, you're breaking the law of God. It's a deceitful direction. Sin convinces that it's right. Not only that, not only is it a deceitful direction. Matter of fact, I'm going to say Romans chapter 7, verse 11 says this: for sin taking occasion by the commandment received me, and by it slew me. See, Satan can convince you that it's right. See, most people look at Satan as a guy with horns, a tail, and a little pitchfork, and ugly face. But the Word of God says that this, and matter of fact, he says this in the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And no marvel, Satan transformed into an angel of light. See, Satan's just not this big old ugly creature that's just going to pop out at you and go, rah! He's an angel of light. And he can manipulate you and convince you that things are right. What do you think he did with Eve? While her husband was sitting right there. I had to point that out. It's not like Adam was far off here going, oh, I wonder what my wife's doing. And here she is eating an apple. Oh, yeah, here. He was standing right beside her. The man who was supposed to protect his wife. But that's another sermon for another day. He deceived Eve to say, you know, you can be like God. You're not going to die. He denied God's word. And Mary says, why? He cannot do that to me. If you try to fight him on your own, he can. So we see here that these two scarred hands, they changed my past. My past, hey, I was headed down to a wrong road. I was headed down to hell. I was being deceived. But Jesus came by my way. He went to an old rugged cross, shed all his blood. And them scarred hands remind me that my past has been changed. Not only does it change my past, but secondly, it commands my present. It commands my present. When you get saved, you're not just commanded to sit right on that pew. You can't sit there and think, well, it's only Pastor Gilbert's job to see the people in the hospital and to knock on doors and to hand out tracts. And once you get saved, it's your job too. Yeah, it's my job too. Our present is commanded. How do you know that, preacher? Well, I know that through the scriptures. Matter of fact, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. We'll start in verse 18 and read verse 19 and 20. So, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, and unto the end of the world. Amen. This is the commandment that he gave his disciples. Now, when you get saved, let me ask you this question. What do you become? You become a disciple. And once you become that disciple, you are commanded to go and to preach the gospel to all the world. They may reject you. They may laugh at you. They may scoff at you. They may call you a zealot. They may call you a Bible thumper. I say praise God for that. I was called a Bible thumper in school, and it didn't bother me one bit. Someone says, why doesn't that bother you? I say, it's a compliment. Amen. You're really complimenting me if you call me a Bible thumper. Just think about that. Even though, I'm telling you, church, we are commanded. It commands my present. It commands us to go. It commands us to preach the gospel. Not only that, it commands us to have fellowship with God. My question is so far, how is your fellowship with the Lord? I think we all can say at times, not good. That's not good for a preacher to say. Well, I'm just giving you truth. I'm flesh. I'm not here. I'm just like you. And it's very important that our fellowship with God it needs to be in tune. It needs to be connected. And so, but you say, my fellowship it's not as close as it needs to be. There's sin in my life that's causing me to fall away from God. There's sin in my life that makes that fellowship this far. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 9. Hey, all we got to do is confess our sins. All we got to do is humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. All we got to do is submit ourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. All we got to do is draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We just follow these simple directions and say, Lord, I'm done pleasing myself. I'm giving my life to you. You have full control of my life. Once we give God that complete control, once we give Jesus His rightful ownership and His rightful place, boy, I'm telling you, we'll be able to get through a lot of things. Amen. A lot of the stuff that used to bother us, the little small things that used to really get under our skin, Wouldn't be a big deal at all anymore. Why? Because Jesus is in his rightful place. Hey, it commands our present. It commands us to go. It commands us to preach the gospel. To be a witness. We need to be an effective witness. We need to be an effective witness. You know, you may... Many people say, well, I have a past. Many people know my past. And I'm not going to lie to you. Many people probably will bring up your past to discourage you. See, that's Satan. But your past. As I said earlier, your past has been erased. When Jesus looks at you, he no longer sees your past sins, as I said. He sees the blood. He sees royalty. Now let that sink in for a minute. He sees royalty. I think of that song, the parody, that I'm a royal descendant. I'm a royal descendant of the King from Jerusalem. I think about, doesn't that excite you to think that you're royal? From a royal priesthood. We need to be an effective witness here this evening. Thirdly, this is my last point. I told you I'm not a long-winded preacher. This is my last point. Not only does it change my past, not only does it command my present, but friends, it certifies my future. These two scarred hands remind me that my future is certified. One of these days, I'm going home. One of these days, I'm going to heaven. If I were to die tonight, I know where I'm going. I'll be in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'll be in the presence of the Almighty God, the Lamb that is the light. Amen. I say amen to that. I'll be home. I'll get to see my grandfather again, my aunt again, my Uncle Jim again. I'll get to see everybody again, but most of all, I'll get to see Jesus. Amen. I'll get to be able to bow before the King. And as a tear tries to trickle down my eye, he's going to take his finger and wipe the tear away. He says, there's no more tears in here. I'll get to be able to be with him and see the two scarred hands that he sacrificed for me on the cross. Not just the two scarred hands, but as I bow, I get to see the scars in his feet. All the blood that he shed for me and you, it certifies our future. Hey, it certifies us that we're going to heaven. I'm telling you, as I said this morning, you know, the mansions are nice, the streets of gold are nice, the pearly gates are nice, everything's nice, but Jesus is the best of all. He paid for our life. Hey, he paid a debt that he did not owe. We were the sinners. We should have been on the cross. We should have been crucified. We should have been led down. We should have been in Gethsemane. And we should have been the ones arrested. We should have been beaten while we're going to see Caiaphas. We should have had our beard ripped. We should have had our teeth. Someone take their teeth on us and gape their teeth and rip our flesh. We should have been the one punched in the face while we were blindfolded and asked, who hit you, Jesus? Who hit you, Jesus? We should have been thrown on the ground. We should have been took to Pilate, and Pilate says to scourge him. And we should have been scourged so badly beaten, unrecognizable, that no one could recognize us. That should have been us. Then we should have been able to be the ones that take our cross and walk up Golgotha's hill. And we should have been the one that put on that cross and crucified. That should have been me. That should have been you. But Jesus loved you enough to take your place. He loved you enough to take your place. It certifies my future. Jesus, what a wonderful name. He is everything to me. Sometimes I'm really amazed. I'll just be mean to the Lord, and I said, Lord, why'd you even call me into ministry? I'll sit down and I'll listen to people like Brian McBride. I mean, he's my favorite. I love listening to Brian McBride. Oh, I could listen to him for a long time. Think, wow, man, the Lord is just, wow, how the Lord uses him. Like, and he'll say something thinking, man, I've seen that and I never thought of that before. Now, God uses everybody differently. And I say, Lord, I'm not smart. I mean, I was in the learning support class. I just want to say, I was, someone was calling me, you were the slow kid. I was the slow kid, amen. But it amazes me how God can use even someone like me.
Amen.
For his purpose.
Amen.
You remember Moses would try to use the excuse, so I'm slow of speech. But God still used him. God found a way to use him. And what I'm trying to get to you tonight is, I want you to think about these two scarred hands. And I want you to think all the things that Jesus done for you. God can use you. Don't you want to give him the just due back of all the sacrifice he gave you?
Amen.
He gave it all for you. And I think he deserves his just due back. You may not be called to be a pastor. And maybe there's someone here that actually, maybe one of you young boys here. Maybe the Lord is calling you. Maybe you're scared. I want to tell you something. It wasn't scary. It was just one of those moments where the Lord said, I want you to go into ministry. And sometimes you get this, not me, Lord. But for me, it was more like, okay, Lord, use me. Maybe if you're here and a young man and the Lord's calling you in the ministry, I'll say heed to the call. I say come to this altar and heed to the call. Get with your pastor. I'm going to tell you something. I know this beyond a shadow that you love your pastor, and I guarantee you, Pastor Gilbert will help you in every single way. It certifies my future. It commands my present, and it changed my past. What you see before you, I've not always been. I once was so broken and battered by sin. The story that I tell you, it's such a marvelous thing. How love brought together a beggar and a king. I traded for riches the rags of my soul. I gave him the pieces and he made me whole. I brought to him nothing. Oh, he gave me everything. Oh, he found a beggar, and I found the king. You say it's just so hard for you to believe. All that I can say is that I agree. Of all the love story this world's ever seen, they'll never be greater than how Jesus loves me. I traded for riches the rags of my soul. I gave him the pieces and he made me whole. I brought to him nothing. Oh, he gave me everything. Oh, he found a beggar, But I found the King. Aren't you glad one day you found the King? Aren't you glad the King came by your way? He wasn't a King that just says, get this peasant away from me. But this was a King that brought the peasant in. Amen. He wasn't a King that says, this is a nasty beggar. But this is the King that went down into the dumps with the beggar and made him a brand new man and a brand new woman. Think about that for a second here in church. Be glad tonight that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior if you're saved and born again. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can say, praise God, 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 praise God. Keep singing, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Amen. Glory to God. Hey, you're a child of the King here this evening. Just think about that for a second tonight. Two scarred hands changed your past, command your present, and it certifies your future. All heads bowed and eyes closed, and Christians praying.